That's okay. Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Good.
Today, what we're going to focus on is the red area goal line. We typically do on Fridays. There's some things that I want to get cleaned up on third down. I thought we made a lot of progress there last week. Want to make sure that we are able to maintain that. And this is a good third down team. I know the numbers haven't been there. Okay, the numbers haven't been there, but playing Josh Reed over the years and his impressive production on third down, 70% of his catches going for or on third down, and some of the other things that they're able to do where at any point they can take a shot, you have to be able to balance all those things off. Marshawn Lynch will be a lot more involved in the offense this week than he was last week, and give him two good options as backs. These are two guys that I know late last year, in watching him, had led the NFL in receptions for backs. So even the checkdowns have to be especially conscious of those things as well, because they can hit you a lot of different ways, and you give those backs the ball in space. Now that can be a problem, as well as the receiving core. And I think like anything else, as their offense gets more reps together, as they continue to improve and fix the problems that they have, it'll improve. So we'll spend some more time working on that. We'll move into the red area and the goal line element and review the things that we have in overall. So with that, open up to questions.
Eric, what was the key to you guys playing better on third down last week?
I really think, Jeff, that it comes down to what we've talked about a lot in here. I thought the coordination continues to improve, and it's so important that everybody's in the right spots at all times. And you can have 10 guys in the right spot and one guy a little bit outside, where maybe it's a defensive lineman, he goes to the right instead of the left, and that hole that he goes to is where you bring some kind of pressure. So now it jams up three people, and even if the coverage is solid or things like that, you may not get the sack that should be there based on the protection. Same thing offensively. Are the route depths correct? Do you pick up the does everybody see the blitz the same way? And the hots there, all those things come into play, and it's critical that you're coordinated at all times.
How has your team responded to the trade of Braylon Edwards this week? What's the sort of vibe you're getting?
I think that the guys understand the nature of the NFL, and there's a lot of veteran guys who've been through things like this in the past, and we've all dealt with things like this on different levels. It was nice to get the players in that we had in and let them get to know Chancey and Jason and get a sense of who they are and watch them in practice. That's always a good step. And I thought overall our practice was high energy, high tempo, and everybody's excited about building, about moving forward, about doing the things we need to do this weekend to win. And I liked what we did last week in a lot of areas, and maintaining that and improving those areas where we haven't been as good.
Coach, a couple guys, I think we talked about it Monday a little. You didn't go to pads last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And a couple guys said they thought they noticed a difference on Sunday. Did you think that had an impact on if guys were frustrated during the game?
I'm willing to adjust at all times. We didn't go in pads yesterday. And if it, to me, if that's something that we identify as an area where it'll give us a boost without hurting our fits in the running game or hurting our fits in protection, or there's not a drop-off, then I'm all for it. And I'm completely open to any suggestion that somebody makes, you know, provided there's a rationale behind it besides, hey, I don't want to go in pads, you know. If there's a thought process and a rationale, then I'm open to it. And it's good. It's good to get feedback. It's good to be able to try different things and see which combination works best for you at that time.
I mean, did you see more energy, or is that tough to quantify?
I think it's tough to quantify, but in my mind, we made some strides. So if that helped with making strides, then I'm all for it.
How did that happen? Did the captains say this is something that we'd like?
Well, the captains and I get together each week, and actually, so it would be last night. We had talked about it at different points. We had talked about different ideas, and some go in the following week, some go in the following day, and that was one that we had talked about at different points and gave it a shot.
Is this something, you know, new for you that you're open to that, or have you done that before in the past in other places?
No, I've done that before. Done it in New York quite a bit. We're always trying to tinker with what works best. There's been some times on Wednesday where you go through the 9-on-7, the team run period, things like that, in pads, and you can transition to shells. There's sometimes on Thursday where maybe you originally decided to go with shells, but you wanted to hit some core runs, or maybe it was kickoff return, where those drills are better in pads, and you pad that part of it, and you adjust after it. So it's flexible, and it's fluid, and we're always looking at all the different areas.
What was the rationale for doing that on Thursday? I mean, when you talked to the captains, they said, we'd like to do that because of why?
Well, everybody likes going with no pads. I mean, I don't think you could find a locker room in the league that wouldn't vote for that.
For you to want to do it. And
yeah, we just talked about the important thing from a coaching perspective is there's a real way that you have to practice without pads. And you have to be able to take the steps and get the fits and do the hand work and be able to play the same technique. And it's kind of a skill set that you have to develop. And young guys aren't as good at that. There's a certain tempo that has to be maintained. And I thought that we did a nice job with what my expectations were without pads and also some of the contact off on a Thursday.
Last week, Brandon, you know, being benched, and now Mike Adams has been a little bit limited in practice. What's the outlook there at your starting cornerback job?
Yeah, well, Mike was able to do some things yesterday, and as you go along during the week, you go through more of the rehab process, you have some more time. Usually those reps are able to increase barring setback. So we'll see where he is today, and same thing to Quell, see where he is today, and all those guys, Rex, Floyd, Jamal, go through the week, see where they are, and judge it based on what they are able to do on the field and what you project them to be able to do on the field on Sunday.
Phil Dawson, just in that vein, was on the did not practice yesterday list. Are you still hopeful that he might be able to kick Sunday, or is that a week?
Yeah, you know, with kickers, you can get some reps later in the week, and it's a little different. We line up that football team. We want to line it up, pads, no pads, and he can kick or he can kick without somebody, and it's a little different with kickers and punters than maybe everybody else.
Not able to go. Is it one of the rookies, or who would fill that spot?
Well, Kaluka has worked in there. David Vicuna has worked in there. Really, Bones has worked inside at different points. Trusnik's worked inside at different points. Depending on which group it is, base, nickel, could be a combination of guys filling those roles. But I'm optimistic on him, so we'll prepare and see how it goes. And
the rookies outside of special teams, what are they showing you in practice?
Well, Kaluka got a couple plays last week, and he's worked in at different points throughout the season, and based on the packages that we have, I think the Davids made some strides here week in and week out. And the thing that you stress to rookies and all players, you don't know when things are going to change. You got to prep like you're the starter every week. If you're a backup, you prep like you're the starter, and I think Brian Robiski has a And there's a good example. You go from inactive to active to getting a chance to really play a significant role. And, you know, how big a role that is still to be determined, but that's how quickly things change in the league. One injury, you know, one transaction, and you're in.
Imagining you don't listen to the outside criticism of you, but do you think this portrait of you that you're controlling and heavy-handed is either, I don't know, unfair or exaggerated?
I'm really comfortable with who I am and what I believe in, and you know, I think as people get to know me and spend time with me, they understand what my goals are, and my goal is to have the to always work towards winning, is to have a team that is disciplined, that's selfless, that's hardworking. I believe in those things, and I've seen it work. And you know, in transition, it's sometimes difficult. Sometimes you have to communicate through it, and you have to work through it, and you have to get to know somebody to really understand that what they're saying is where they're coming from. And then it doesn't mean anything else besides what it means. You know, I think as I get to know people better, as I meet people, as they meet me, you know, it's the relationship builds. But when you don't know somebody and you have to evaluate it, you evaluate it based on what you know, and you make whatever. You express whatever opinion you have, and I respect everybody's opinion, and everybody's right to have that opinion.
Is building a selfless team, is that one of your biggest challenges?
I think selfless and team are synonymous. So, and it's critical. And educating everybody on why it's critical is really important. It's important to me, and it's important to the coaching staff, and it's important for us collectively to understand that. And go ahead.
When you come into a situation like you did, I think maybe it could have been similar actually with the Jets too, when discipline might have been lacking. Do you have to be more of a hard guy in the beginning to?
I know what word you want to use.
Yeah.
This is Disney rated.
Yeah.
So do you have to be that way more to and then like my pastor said, it's easier to go from the Wicked Witch to Snow White than the other way around. And
my high school coach always say, be firm, fair, and consistent. And I believe in that. And the rules aren't there for any reason besides to let us operate effectively. And there's no other agenda. There's no maliciousness. And it's like anything else. If you don't want to get fined, don't break the rules. And if the rules aren't clearly articulated, ask. Because they're pretty clearly articulated. And it's just, it's really trying to be firm, fair, and consistent. And you know, I don't make concessions for guys that are 15-year players versus a rookie free agent, because then the rules aren't consistent. They don't have meaning. You know, it's just an objective way to punish people, or a subjective way to punish people, and that's not what it's designed for.
Do you think it's possible that Braylon did some things along the way to try to get himself out of here?
You'd have to talk to Braylon about that. I never felt that. I never felt that was his motive, and I never saw it that way. No.
Worried about no coach. I mean, is that something that you know maybe can envision some guys trying to do, or have seen guys trying to do in the past? And, you know, take a negative and spin it to a positive, and.
You know, without knowing what someone's thinking, without being in somebody's head, you can't really make that assumption on anybody. I make the assumption that that guys want to do the right thing, and that guys want to be the best player they can be, and that guys want to win games. And you know, that's, you always start with the benefit of the doubt, and you always start with a clean slate, and you always start with evaluating the things that, that you've had, the interactions you've had with a person.
Want to be here. It's better to get that guy out of the locker room and off the team, because eventually he's gonna start affecting other people. I mean, it's almost addition by subtraction. Would that be accurate? I'm not saying him, but just anybody in general. If it's clear to you that this guy does not want to be here, and as soon as he can go, he's out of here.
I think the most important thing in terms of decision making process from my perspective is what's best for the entire group. And you know, that's how I try to judge things and to evaluate things and to make decisions. And really, it's not how I try to. It's how I make decisions based on the information that I have. And you know, I don't go in with the assumption that this is what someone's trying to do. And I would always talk to someone and try to get to the root of any issue. And I think that that's key. If there's a problem, address it. Address it and sit down and talk about it and figure out what can be done to address the problem. And sometimes you agree, sometimes you have to agree to disagree. But at least you've had a chance to express how you feel.
Last year there was a case where Brandon McDonald, I think he wasn't playing particularly well, and he didn't start a game. It might have been Denver, I'm not sure. And he came back in, you know, pretty much immediately after that and played well. Again, this past week, he didn't, you know, Mike Adams was in that spot, and then he came and Brandon ended up playing a lot and playing a lot better. Do you think there's a correlation to sitting a guy or sitting Brandon and just kind of letting him think about that and his performance, and then him playing a lot better? Because he did certainly play a lot better last week than he had in the first three games.
Sometimes it's not a function of just how the one player is playing. It's a function of how another player is playing. And I thought that Mike Adams had been playing really well, and I thought that he deserved a chance to play more. And the one thing that you saw with Mike is he also played multiple roles. And with the, you know, there were some things that in the secondary where we had to transition some people, where Mike Furry was back and then he had to go up, or Mike was at corner and then he had to go inside. And, you know, that's being a DB coach. There's so many moving parts. You've got base, you've got nickel, you've got dime, you could have a penny group, you could have matchups, and you got to go through your chart and figure out, okay, if this guy goes down, he has to go here, he has to go here, he has to do this, and you have to try to rep it during practice, make sure everybody understands it. That's why Jerome has a challenge each week.
Would you be surprised if Braylon has a monster game on Monday Night Football, and if he does, how do you think you would feel about that?
I think that Braylon has tremendous ability, and I wish him well. And the things that he does moving forward, I hope he does a lot of good things. And I don't ever look at a player who leaves a team as you know, hoping that they perform poorly. That's not how I look at things. You know, what I'm really concerned about and always am looking for. Concern is not really the right word. What I'm always really looking for is how can I make our players play better? How can I help them perform better? And someone who goes to a different team, you know, you wish them well, and you know, whatever they do, they do.
So who dishes out the discipline in the Mangini household?
I think I'm responsible for that as well. Yeah. Luke sometimes won't come to the phone if he thinks he's in trouble. Talk to Dad. No. It's okay. A
few timeouts here and there, I imagine.
What's that?
A couple timeouts here and there and some.
Yeah, sometimes we, and Luke's been like that since he's been a baby. He used to, didn't want to go for a nap. You know, I had to put him down 13 times in a row. And it's like, put him down, he stood up. Put him down, he stood up. And finally, he couldn't talk at that point, but I'm like, I'm not going anywhere, and you're going down for the snap, and I'm not leaving. And he finally laid down. He gave me one of those looks like, you know, just, all right, get out of here. But, and Luke, Jake has always been very, he's been easy to sort of work through those things. Luke is very strong-willed, but I'm strong-willed too, so.
Allowances away. That'll make a difference.
Yeah, I was trying to teach him about work and chores. This was over the summer, and you know, I used to have to always weed when I was my dad wanted us working, and when he came home, you better be doing something. Watching TV, that was not an option. So I was trying to teach the boys. Like, okay, well, why don't we'll go do some yard work, do some weeding. Jake still talks about this weeding like he had to do it 50 days in a row. He pulled out like 10 blades of grass one time. He was at school, one of his first days in school, and they said, oh, does anybody have any jobs at home? He's like, well, my dad makes me weed. Like, it was one time, you know? But be scarred. That'll be like in counseling 10 years from now. Yeah. Oh, he was probably one. God, he just kept getting up. He was so consistent. He's consistent. So,
sure. Do you think then your receivers will take it upon themselves as sort of a personal challenge to show, you know, hey, we're good too, and we'll go out with 1-1?
Yeah, I'm excited about the group, and it's the key thing to me is. Getting in the right spots, knowing how they have to beat coverage, understanding where the hots are, making sure that DA, when he gets back and makes his read, that you're where you're supposed to be. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to talk to Chancey yesterday or not. He's a consistent, smart guy. He's you know, you'll get to know those two guys, and then you know, Trusnik, he couldn't be happier. I mean, I'm sure he's got Browns gear from when he was 10. Probably pulling it back out, so it's great.
Can I ask him another question about what we were talking about earlier?
Were you and Woody Johnson as close as you and Randy?
You know, I think with each owner you have a different relationship, and Woody and I would spend time together, and he'd come out to the facility, and we'd have lunch on different days. I think with Randy and I, you know, we spent a significant amount of time together, and I'm saying one is right or one is wrong. It's just kind of how it's evolved.
But you think he knew you
as well as Randy seems to, that, you know, your relationship, how you relate with your players. Do you think he knew that or not?
I hope so. We spent 3 years together, and then you know, I'm always happy when. Whether it was Randy or Woody, if they want to talk to some of the guys or get their feedback, it's transparent. You know, I'm always happy if they want to go to any meeting, if they want to see how the coaches coach. I'm proud of the way that we do things, and I really believe we do things the right way. And to me, it's come to anything, watch anything, see anything, talk to anybody you want to talk to, because I believe in what we're doing, and I know it works, and I know it's thorough, it's detailed, it's well thought out. It's a good group of coaches, and the motivation is pure. All right, thanks.